Take your Bibles, please, this morning, and turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, this morning. Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning in the book of Hebrews. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. As you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage on faith. God, use it today to help us. We're needy people today, and we need to hear from you. And we need you to accomplish that through our pastor. So we pray that you would anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. And Father, if there's a person in this room and under the sound of this preacher that will come, on the internet or in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would get that settled today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As is always our case on a Sunday morning where we have Lord's Supper, we have a bit more of a less time for the message as far as the preaching and things go. So we will try to get through this message very quickly. So if I talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll be fine. Because you don't want to keep Baptists past noon, because then they take their watches out and start banging them on the chair in front of them to let the preacher know his time is up. I'm going to answer a very simple question this morning. What is faith? What is faith? I was talking with someone on an airplane one day and talking to them about the Lord, and they said in a very, condescending sort of way, I always admire you people of faith. You know, the truth is, we all have faith. How many of you ever flown on an airplane? You ever flown on an airplane? No, you didn't. The plane flew. You were just sitting there. Now, I understand aerodynamics of flight. Planes' wings are not flat. They're flat on the bottom. They're curved on the top. That engine gets the plane moving down the runway at a certain enough, a proper speed that the airflow over the top of the wing exceeds the speed of the airflow underneath the wing and creates what's called lift, and it lifts the plane off the runway. So I understand the aerodynamics of flight. But you know, I got on a plane yesterday, flew home. I didn't hear anybody go up to the stewardess and say, is this thing going to fly? Are we going to get there? The pilot came on. He said, well, we're flying to Sacramento today, and I haven't been there in a long time. Hope I can find it. That didn't increase our faith a great deal. He found it. Boy, did he find it. Man, he hit that runway. He put it on the ground. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, that's not really faith. No. See, that's what the problem is. We think that faith, when it comes to biblical belief, etc., that we think faith means you have this absolutely convinced confidence. when we're going to talk to you today about what is faith and make it very simple for you. Now, you need your Bibles. You need to look in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 6, as it was read for us a moment ago. And we're going to come back to those scriptures in just a minute. But we do all have faith. Excuse me. You had faith to sit in that chair this morning. See, that wasn't really faith. Did you examine the chair? Did you look on the bottom of the sticker to see if it had the correct weight limit? Did you sit, walk in and look at the chair and say, no, I don't know. Not sure. We were kids. We were living with my grandparents, and my grandfather built a cabin up in the mountains, and he had some, you know, it's a cabin with a three rooms and a path. It was a cabin. And he had some old chairs and stuff he had put inside the cabin. We would sit on. My grandmother went to sit in one of the chairs, and he had it underneath it. You could tell he had all this wiring holding the thing together. She sat down, and it just exploded. Boom, the legs came off of it. Boom, she went down. She didn't get hurt. My brother and I did the wrong thing. We laughed. I don't care what you say. It was funny. We laughed. After she got up, we weren't laughing anymore. That was the end of that one. From that time on, when my grandmother would go sit down on a chair in that cabin, she'd turn the chair over and look at it, then put it down and sit down on the thing. Now, but you say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's a little simplistic. I mean, that's not really faith. But excuse me. Yes, it is. Faith is not 100% confidence that everything is just... No, that's not faith. In the Bible, it tells us 236 times faith is mentioned. 231 times faith is mentioned in the Bible. But you know, it's only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. All the rest of those 229 times are all New Testament teachings, and it talks about what faith is and how to have faith and whether you have, where is your faith? Jesus would ask the disciples, all these sorts of things. This thing about faith, it's very simple to understand it, but let's get something straight this morning. First of all, to have biblical faith, you need two elements, two. Number one, you need the right source for the faith. Now look in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 11, please, in verse number 3. Look at it. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by science and examination. Through faith we understand. Look at verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that, now this is a statement. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. That's a statement in the Bible that shows you that we got here by creation, not evolution. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, people of faith believe what God said when he made the world. I mean, how many of you believe God made the world in 7 days? I mean, you believe that? No, six. He rested on the seventh. Read your Bible. He rested on the seventh, okay, 6 days. And he didn't rest on the seventh because he was tired. He rested on the seventh because he was finished. Look at me. When God created everything, he stepped out onto nothing and spoke it into existence. That's why it says the things you see are not made from what was already here. There wasn't a bunch of ooze that came together and made a person, okay? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, but you have to believe that by faith. You have to believe evolution by faith. Because it is still, last time I checked it, it's still called the theory of evolution. Now, theory is not fact. Now, they can put a bunch of bones and pile them up together and dig up a tooth and make a whole human race out of them if they want to. But it's still a theory. That means it's not factual. It is still a series of things that are put together, and a theory is derived from those series. So guess what? Evolution requires faith as much as the belief that God stepped out on nothing and spoke it into existence. I just choose to believe, as I've often told you, that I do not go to the zoo and throw peanuts to my relatives. I just choose to believe that we were created by God. That man and mankind, human beings, were created in a higher form than the animals that God also created. That creation, that God did this. But see, you got that from the Bible. Yes, I did. Got a lot of stuff from that book. Romans 10:17 says, now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, listening to me this morning is not going to give you any faith. Some of you, you're still not listening. I can tell. Some of you, the lights are on and nobody home. You're still not listening yet. You're still thinking about what you did this morning, what you're going to do this afternoon, where you're going to go, what your week was like. We're taking Lord's Supper, and I was admonishing you to keep your mind on the Lord. I had to struggle because I'm preaching after we get done with Lord's Supper, and I'm always thinking about what I'm going to preach. I had to put that aside, and I'm thinking about what I'll be preaching tonight. I think I preached almost every day this week. I mean, I got a lot of things on my mind, but I had to put my mind on what was going on. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Listen to me. Listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing, not listening. Hearing simply means I'm willing to open up my ear gates and say, all right, I don't know everything about the Bible, but I am willing to listen to what the Word of God has to say. It starts with the hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and then the hearing comes by the Word of God. It's amazing how this book will open your understanding and your hearing, and it will give you the faith that you need to understand and know what God wants. So you need the right source for faith. Two elements. Now look at Hebrews 11:6. The other element is this, you need to have the right object of your faith. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The object of our faith needs to be, start with, continue with, stay with, is God. I witness to people all the time, I've come across many atheists. You understand there is really, philosophically, there's no such thing as an atheist. Can't be. For a person to deny the existence of God would require them to know everything, and nobody knows everything. Seriously, you draw that little circle, I've showed you this before. You draw the little circle, when I was doing this, a guy on an airplane one day, Dr. Reverend, whatever his name was, he wasn't a reverend, Dr. PhD, HIV, BBD man, and I got the napkin out there, and I drew the circle, and I said, well, sir, let me ask you a question. I think it was like a department head at UCLA or something. I do the circle. I said, let's say, sir, in this circle is all the knowledge of mankind in that circle. And I said, let's say, how much do you think you have of all that's available to mankind today? He said, well, and he goes, I don't know. I said, hey, let's say you're like a quarter of it. You have that. You're like Einstein Hawking squared times 2 + 1. Let's say you got a quarter of all that knowledge. I said, sir, isn't it just logical to assume since you don't know everything that the knowledge of God is out there and you just don't know that? Department head of UCLA looked at me and he goes, so what am I? I love it when these guys ask a preacher what they are. You know, that just made my whole flight, quite frankly. I said, sir, you're an agnostic. I said, what you are is you believe there's something, maybe there could be something there, you just don't know what it is. But you can't, I'm sorry, but you're not smart enough to know it all. So there really technically is no such thing as an atheist. But when a person says, but I'm not sure that I believe in God. I understand that concept. But the Bible says you and I, if we're going to know him, we have to first of all believe that he is. Now, that's an object. I understand it. But people, come on. We believe in all sorts of people and things that we have never seen before. I was stood in amazement in the Sistine Chapel in Rome to look up at the work of Michelangelo there on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, one of the most famous fresco paintings in the world ever. I was amazed to look at this. I thought, that's amazing. It took 5, 6, 7 years of this man and a crew of people painting this ceiling painting. But I've never met Michelangelo. I've never seen Michelangelo. You say, yeah, but Pastor, you have the evidence of his work. Yes, I do. I see his handiwork. I saw it. I stood there. I was amazed. And down the walls, it's a curved ceiling, of course, and down the walls all around this big chapel, there was panels of paintings there. And one of them, it said, was the man who taught. One guy painted one of those panels. It wasn't Michelangelo. It was the man who taught Michelangelo how to paint. I thought, well, there's the master and there's the student. Wow, that's incredible. Put some clothes on these guys. And I looked at that, and it just amazed me. I was stunned. But wait a minute. But I didn't walk out of there and go, but I don't know. Michelangelo, I don't know. You say, well, you could see his work. I saw his work today. Did you see that soft rain when it came down? Did you drive to church today? Did you see the colors of those leaves? I'm sorry, but that's not just a matter of chlorophyll change in plants. You understand that? Look at me. Do you understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you have seen his handiwork all week long? Oh, yes. I don't think we should have a problem believing that he is. Do I know it for a fact? Nope. Do I believe it? Yep. Because I've seen his work. But the Bible says, for me to have the correct object, I must believe that he is. And to come to him, I must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I must have the right source, and I must have the right object. So then what is faith? It is believing, trusting, and acting. Believing, trusting, and acting. You believe, but you believe even while you have doubts. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, isn't faith 100% believing everything the Bible says and everything? No. Listen to me. There has to be a degree of doubt or it's not faith. There has to be. Remember in the Bible when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, they're there. The rest of the disciples are down here and they're having an exorcism and they cannot get a demon out of a young boy, a teenage boy. See, how do you know he's a teenager? Because his dad said he was maniac. That's why we know he was a teenager. And he couldn't cast the devils out of this boy, the disciples. When they came down, Jesus and the other disciples came down, the father came up to him and said, your disciples couldn't cast the devils out of my son. Jesus looked at him and said this, do you believe? And the guy said 100% confidently without a shadow of a doubt, yes, sir, I believe. That's not what he said. He looked at Jesus. He saw the need of his son. And he said, sir, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Look here. This man had a portion of faith and a portion of doubt. That's okay. Now look at me. It's okay. I believe his faith, his belief was greater than his doubt. But he still had doubt. Another example. A couple of questions. Another, please listen. In Acts chapter 12, Peter's thrown in prison. Disciples are together at someone's house and they're praying. Oh, God, you got to get Peter out of prison. Oh, God. Because in Acts chapter 12, they had killed James. And Peter was next. So they're praying to God. They got one of these prayer meetings and they're begging God, please get Peter out of prison, please. Unbeknownst to them, God dispatches an angel, comes, opens the door, says, Peter, come with me. Walks him out, opens the gates for him, walks him out. Peter goes to the house where everyone's inside praying. You got to get Peter out of prison. Lord! And he starts knocking on the door. Rhoda comes over there. I had a TV show later on. Rhoda comes over there later. She opens the door and she goes, ah, it's Peter. Boom, slams the door and goes back inside. The disciples said, who's that? It's Peter. And they go, he's in prison. And Peter's out here. Look, Peter's out here. The Bible said he continued knocking. Hello? Hello? Finally, they all went to the door, opened the door, and they stood there and go, see, prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Nuh-uh. The Bible said they were shocked. Now, why would they be shocked if they had 100% faith? Why? Because I don't care what they did when they were on their knees. They're thinking, but he is a dead man. But Lord, you can do something. Please help us. Hey. Believe, doubt. Faith is believing in when you doubt, with some degree of doubt. There has to be a degree of doubt to faith. Or I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I do not know for a fact that there's a heaven or a hell. I don't know that. Say, do you believe it, Pastor Johnson? Oh, yes. Most definitely. But when it comes right down to the moment you get ready to leave this life, is there going to be just a little in the back of your mind thinking, You know, it's always interesting how we have all that faith for people who are dying. Well, you'll soon be with the Lord. And it's true, isn't it? Because the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when you're the one and they're talking to you about it, you know, you get to 63 years of age and people no longer ask you, what do you want to do with your life? Now they ask you, what's your bucket list? I was preaching yesterday. One of our young men interned with us, Sammy Robertson, you remember him, was there, Sammy. And he said, Pastor, that was, you're a classic preacher. I said, classic means old, not in use, but still worth something. Isn't that what that's supposed to mean? He goes, no, that's not what I meant. You know, people, the truth of the matter is, but again, now listen to me. If you got your faith from the right source and your faith is in the right object, the Bible and God, faith is still, it's still having enough belief that if God said it is so, and God does not lie, you have your first element of what is real faith. Faith as a grain of a mustard seed, Jesus said, if you had it, you could cast mountains into the ocean. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen mustard seeds. It's a little bitty thing. Doesn't sound like great, huge faith, does it not? That's why salvation is having enough faith to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm sorry. You know, I'm so thankful for the children's ministries in our church where a child with simple childlike faith can trust Christ and get saved. People say, I wonder if they really mean it. Oh, they mean it. So they don't have all the baggage you and I have, all the stuff of life that we hold up and say, well, I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about that. And I understand that. Got it myself, not a problem. When it comes right down to the matter of salvation, here's what you need. You need a sinner, and that's all of us. You need a Savior, and that's only Jesus. And you need to be willing to trust Him for your salvation and accept His payment as salvation from heaven, for heaven from hell, and get saved. That's it. That's why Jesus brought a child in before Him, with Him, in front of a bunch of grown-ups and said, except you become like this little child, you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Told a bunch of adults they need a childlike faith to get saved. Believing even when there's doubt. I do believe you have to have greater belief than you do doubt. But we already have that now. By the way, Christian, the Christian life works by faith when you continue to do the same thing. You have a belief and confidence in your God and in that Bible that led you to Christ. Even when we think, yeah, but I'm not sure how this is going to work out, that's not your job. Elements of faith are belief. Number two is trusting. That's trusting what you don't know. Faith is not stepping out on nothing. Faith is trusting God and His Word. It is trusting God to be who He says He is and what He said the Bible says is true. Look at verse 1, Hebrews 11. Look at the verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, then substance. Faith, then evidence. We got folks today who say, well, you got to prove that one to me. No, that's not how you come to Him. You got to trust Him enough to have, listen now, trust Him enough while with belief and a degree of doubt, trust Him enough to accept that what He said is true. And when you do that, it's not, faith is not, see look folks, this is about, 2 feet, maybe 2.5 feet drop. I have the faith that God could keep me from falling off this platform if I just step out there. Say, you going to do that, Pastor Johnson? No, I ain't stupid. Because I also know He created gravity. And I have enough mass to take me down that 2.5 feet really fast. What are you laughing at? You know, the truth is, see, what makes the trusting part of faith work is you trust when you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how it'll turn out. You don't know what the consequences, you don't know. That's why in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about people like Noah. God tells him to build an ark. He builds an ark. Took him over 100 years to build that ark. Him, his 3 sons, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their 3 wives, and Mrs. Noah. 8 people. Took him 100 years to build that ark. It had never rained, and they'd never seen a flood. But God said, a flood's coming. You better build an ark. Now, come on, folks. Somewhere down the road, they had to understand that maybe they got this thing wrong. Did He say build a park? What in the world? Everyone's laughing at them. They build a boat. They look like fools until they got in the ark. God closed the door. And then they were going, what was that? And the first raindrops started to fall. They didn't know how it would turn out, but they trusted God enough to build an ark. Now look at me, people. We have enough trust. We're trusting things. We trust ourselves. We trust others. We trust this. We trust institutions. We trust things. We put our trust in things, not knowing how it will all turn out. And then we go, well, yeah, but things don't always turn out well. But we have this book. And this book is a record of people who trusted God and did what He told them to do. And it always turned out as God told them it would turn out. I did not say they got everything they wanted. I did not say they never went to a cemetery. I did not say they didn't have a battle or a struggle. I did not say they didn't have valleys and difficulties. I said God got him through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's a trust. There's an element of faith called trusting when you don't know. You say, Pastor, you know how everything's going to turn out? No, I don't. Well, we have a record of God's word where for centuries people by faith and of faith trusted God and his word, and they found God and his word to be faithful. No, I don't know there's a heaven. But did you know by faith I trust God because that there is? And now, friend, listen to me. There have been times I've faced death. There have been times I've stood beside dear people and held their hand while they drew their last breath and stepped from this life to the next. And there's something very real that God has provided in the substance of my trust. Believing, trusting, and then the third thing is acting. You act upon what you believe and trust. Once you believe and trust God and his word, then you act upon it. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says, being alone. You see, there are a lot of Christians who have a faith, but it's frankly a faith that doesn't move them. I believe in heaven, Pastor Johnson. You do. I believe in eternal life. I believe there is a mansion prepared for me. I believe that. I believe God answers prayer. I believe God is capable. I believe God is able. I believe God is sufficient. I believe all that kind of stuff. And then when it gets right down to how they actually live their life, they are practical atheists. Interesting, isn't it? Because what you believe should move you to action. Why do the stuff the Bible tells you to do? Well, I want to be obedient and do what he tells me. Good. That's important. But number two, do you know what you find when you put works to your faith? You find your faith comes alive. It makes it living for you. Do you know why? Because God honors his word. He backs it up, and you get to see that, and he did that through you in your life. And then you get to see a living faith instead of a faith that's a religion somewhere. Faith that's just black ink on white paper. Faith that's just what the church says. Faith that's this. You actually get to see it for yourself. You call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, God said. That's a promise of prayer. Did you know that until you pray, you'll never find out what that is? Until you trust God to answer that, you'll never know what it is. But once you do, you think, God answers prayer. He really does. He actually comes in. I take and give my life to him, and he gives me back a better life than I could have made. That's amazing when you think about that. Now, the problem with some of this for some of us is you have to give to get. You have to lose to win. That goes contrary to our carnal mind and our natural thinking. Give to get, that doesn't make any sense. Lose to win, that doesn't make any sense. Unless you're a 49er fan. But, I mean, you lose to win. That doesn't make any sense. How does that work? It doesn't make any difference. See, my job is to believe him, not always understanding it all, trusting him, not knowing how it's all going to work out. But I'm going to step out and do what he tells me to do. And here's what I find. My faith comes alive. God operates on the other side of faith, not your side. Prove yourself God, and then... No. No, it's an insult. That's like going to look at the Sistine Chapel and going, nah... That was Far Side. That's who the guy did that one. Yeah, that's does Beetle Bailey. It's a cartoon guy. That wasn't really Michelangelo that did that. You stand there looking at his handiwork going, nah, I don't really think that was him. Well, that's an insult to the artist. I'm sorry, but God isn't going to prove himself because he's already done that. And he's proven himself many times over to us. What we really have to do is just take some simple, childlike steps of faith. Believing, even when you have some doubt. Trusting, when you don't know how it's going to work out. But then acting upon it. Then faith comes alive. And that's why we have this attitude. People look at us and they say, how could you be a person of faith? I think, how could you not be? I've had that stuff where I believed in me and other stuff before. It never worked out. Now, for an old hippie boy from the 60s, born and raised in California, now I have a faith that the Bible says is true, and God backs his word. You know something? He has given me substance to my faith, and he's given me evidence to what I have not seen and may never see. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment.